This is Calls for Narrative, written by Oddishly and read by Tipsy Kitty. There was, Ed thought, something to be said for falling in love with the man whose face told you everything he was thinking. Steed's pretty eyes and wide expressive mouth kept no secrets. The way he beamed at Ed during a raid that said he was proud of Ed for lopping a bloke's arm off and not getting anything of his own lopped off in the process. The way his eyebrow twitched in irritable, horny acquiescence when someone who would remain nameless suggested very loudly in front of the entire crew that, no offense, captains, but some of us have to get up for first watch no matter how much someone just discovered how much he likes getting eaten out after a nice hot bath. The way his lip trembled in a complicated mix of disbelief and, wow, this is really happening. When Ed wrapped him up in a big fluffy towel and laid him gently down on the bathroom floor as Ed said, "Gonna blow your fucking mind, mate." And then blew his fucking mind. Right now, there on his side of the sunset window ledge with that cute furrow between his eyebrows and his tipped chin, Steed had the look of a man who had very carefully decided to listen now, traumatize Lucius for answers later. Ed leaned over and patted his knee.
"Look, it's all right. We don't have to do it. Just thought we could try."
"Hmm? No, Ed, I'm not saying no. I'm just clarifying."
"Well, all right. You say mean shit to me, I get off on it."
He studied Steed's face for any telltale twitches and decided to play it safe.
"And then I suck your brain out of your dick."
Steed waved that off. "No, I understood the first part perfectly, thank you. Although, of course, I'm not adverse to the second." He blushed. Slyly. Was that a thing? It was a thing now. My concern was more with the story arc.
"The story arc?"
"Yes, the backstory, the reasoning, the raison d'etre."
"The reason?"
"The thinking that supports the endeavor," Steed said impatiently. "Because I do think if we're going to do this, then it needs to make narrative sense." Ed's first favorite thing about Steed was that thing he'd somehow learned to do with his tongue. His second favorite thing was being surprised every day by whatever deranged thing came out of Steed's mouth. He settled his hands over his knees and said,
"Want to explain that one to me again?"
"You said we pretend some imagined world where I laugh at you for not knowing how to look after your clothes."
"Yeah, because I like nice shit, but I don't like it that much."
Steed nodded. "Or chastise you for using the wrong appetizer fork, or choosing the wrong wine for the fish."
"Wine's wasted on a fish, mate."
"Or how to do skin care, or face care."
"There was a difference?"
"Yeah." Steed didn't look convinced. "I'm not going to humiliate you for not knowing the difference between a sugar and a wax treatment," he said firmly. "Or silk and cashmere. Not even in play. I wouldn't do that. It doesn't make sense, narratively speaking. I would never try to make you feel badly about that. So it would throw me off, I'm sorry to say. And that would spoil the scene."
Well, Steed was a lunatic. They both knew that.
But it was encouraging that there were some limits. Ed latched on to the limits. Just to see where they were really at.
"You know that it's not real. I don't think all that fancy shit is stupid. I think it's really fucking cool."
Rory pricked.
Do you know that?"
"I do, darling. I know," said Steed, and set a bold hand high on Ed's thigh. They both looked at it. "It's not real. It's a role play. A fuckery."
"A fuckery. Ed could run with that." "Exactly. See, you're just getting too stuck in your head, mate."
Steed gave him a look.
"One of your many talents,"
Ed said reassuringly, and smirked at the eye roll he got in return. "Work with me here. In reality, I met you, and even though you were all gross and sweaty and dying, I was like, I could go for a bit of that." "But in the role play..."
"The fuckery."
"The fuckery," Steed said. "You think, wow, look at this absurd, overdressed, muckety-muck, playing at pirates. What sort of pirate prefers a cashmere over a... See, I can't even do it in jest." Steed threw his hands up as if he hadn't just impersonated Blackbeard to the letter. "Kinda. Cashmere is divine. You'd never say that, Ed. It makes no sense at all." "But..." He caught himself before spiraling. Ed squeezed his fingers. "I could do something else. I could tell you that you were..." He paused, apparently wanting to put some thought into it.
"A bad boy?"
Ed offered. Because after all, it was very hard to get a bad boy roleplay wrong.
"You're going to put me over your knee and show me what happens to boys who speak out of turn? And fuck if I haven't been waiting for someone to do that. Except I didn't want it to be you, my fucking co-captain. And it's really embarrassing."
"Hmm, Yes, or, well,
a good girl,
Ed finished for him.
He could see where this was going. All this pretty hair.
He tossed it over his shoulder as he slipped his leg over Steed's to straddle him in the window seat,
always twirling it around my fingers to catch her eye. Not like it was a chore, was it? And saying, oh, please, Captain Bonnet, won't you just learn me my letters again?
Teach, Edward, teach you your letters. Steed sounded pained. I know you know that. It's right there in your name.
So it is, Ed murmured.
He rolled his hips, his dick pressing against Steed's in the fancy pants breeches.
I'm sorry, sir. I tried. I understand if you have to keep me behind after class.
I am very disappointed, Steed said. He sounded tentatively interested. This hadn't been what Ed was going for, but he could work with it. He was flexible, especially when it came to Steed. Ed could use some book learning, and Steed was just the man for it. Come to that, he probably had a skirt somewhere that might fit. Steed's voice dropped into genuine disappointment. I was hoping for good things from you, a nice girl like you. So focused, single-minded.
Yeah, mate, you said it. Too fucking right.
All right, this was the shit. This was just what Ed had been looking for, even if he hadn't technically been looking for it. He ground his dick against Steed's again. I'm not your mate, Edward.
Sir,
Ed breathed. That'll do. Batting your eyelashes at me like the class bicycle. You know I went to school with a boy like that. Stands to reason a slut like you would try to seduce me before I even paid your bride price. You probably planned it, didn't you? My pretty manipulator. Knew I wouldn't be able to resist your mouth. I'm sure you went around sucking all the cocks you could find and then fixed your hair and put on a bit of pink lippy when you saw me so I'd think you were a good girl. And just kept letting me think that. There's me, sitting at my desk marking homework. And you'd be kneeling right there on the floor, humping my leg. Ed could feel his mouth hanging open. Steed's dick was poking up, tenting his pants. He had Ed's upper arms clenched tight enough to bruise in both hands, and tomorrow Ed would have to wear the full-length leathers if he was going to hide it from the crew. Not that Ed was going to leave the cabin tomorrow. He rocked against Steed again. Steed noticed. Thought so. He breathed. And fumbled for Ed's dick through his breeches. Steed's breeches. Not inside, but over the top of the soft, slippy fabric, working the heel of his hand down against Ed's erection. Slut. Probably don't even notice you're there, do I? Pretty little thing like you is probably used to finding someone nice to grind against without complaint from whoever's outfit you're ruining.
You said I could,
Ed mumbled, cheeks heating, trying to thrust in spite of himself. I did not. Steed said sharply, his hand briefly tight. Shut up. You thought I'd let you come on my clothes? Why would I let you do that? I said someone nice. You have to learn to pay attention, Edward. This is a concession. A little favor. Are you enjoying this? Ed shut his eyes. Aye, he said. His cock was dripping, wetting his clothes. I can tell you are. Steed breathed, and pushed his hand down again. You've been hard ever since you asked me to be mean to you, haven't you?
Not the whole time.
Steed huffed a laugh. And now I'm not good enough for you? Now that's embarrassing. So desperate for someone to put you down that you'd accept some nobody laughing at you for asking for it? Is that what I am, Edward? A nobody? Ed was starting to lose his ability to focus. What sort of man asks his lover for that? Steed asked. He fit his fingers around Ed's cock inside his breeches, his own breeches, and jerked hard. Silly little fantasies. As if I don't know just what you need. All that nonsense about your little beauty routines, like I'd let you despoil those. Did you think I'd never heard of roleplay before? Don't answer that. I know the answer. You think I came to you as a virgin, don't you? Ed nodded desperately. You must promise to tell me if this is wrong or bad, darling. I've not really done it before. Played in sweet, treasured tones through his mind every time he took himself in hand.
That's what you said. You said...
Steed's open palm met his cheek. Ed choked in shock. It was gentle, but it stung. Ed's cheek smarting under Steed's hand. That's what presumptuous girls like you get, Steed said. I'd have said anything to get you into bed, darling. He said it, squeezing and rubbing Ed's cock with his other hand, and that was enough. He came with a shout, spurting up and into the fabric of the silk breeches, Steed's fingers working. And when Ed opened his eyes into the crook of Steed's neck, when had that happened? His eyes were wet. "Edward," Steed was whispering, flat open hands soothing circles across his back, soft as the pretty pink sunset. "Edward, darling, are you okay? Was that what you wanted? If it was too much, please tell me. Do you need anything? I could get up and, well, probably quite a lot of the crew heard that. So if you wanted, I could probably ask them to, He continued to murmur nothings, and Ed tipped his forehead down and shut his eyes again, letting the sound of his voice wash over him. He stroked his fingers through the curls at the base of Steed's neck. "I love you," he thought, helpless with it. And when he got everything back under control enough to start rocking ever so slightly in Steed's lap again, he lifted his head and said in his ear, "We're going to do that again," and took Steed's earlobe ever so gently between his teeth. The end.